Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. So good to have you all with us. Some of you may recognize this a couple that's on the screen with me this morning. This is Mark and Karen Naylor. Mark and Karen have been a part of our church for a long time. They've been part of our fellowship. I remember when I was going to Bible school, they're heading off to Pakistan, which is what brings us to this conversation today. There's been some devastation there. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about your story and your connection to Pakistan, and then we'll dig into some of the other stuff.
Great. Thanks very much. And thank you from us to the church for your support for us in our ministry in Pakistan over the years. We went in 1985 and lived there for 14 years in the Sindh province. That's where all the devastation has been right now and why we're so concerned about that. Working among a Muslim people group, the Sindhi people group. Also began Bible translation, which I still do, even at a distance. And we came back in 1999 and living here. My main role now is the training and development of our missionaries with Fellowship International. And so that's what I'm focusing on. But lately I've been doing the Bible translation work online, which has been going well, but not recently, because of the devastation that has happened that has disturbed everything, making the internet pretty difficult to use, as well as the team that I usually work with are very busy with other things. If not taking care of their family, then they're doing relief work.
Wow. Maybe thanks for that, Mark. Karen, maybe tell us a little bit about the devastation. Some of us may not be as aware as others. Just what is going on there?
Floods. Rain and floods, and Sindh is a desert, only kept green because when the British Raj was there, they built canals. So it's used to 365 days a year of sun, basically. So when the monsoon rains came, this is the most unrecorded history, and it's just the land cannot absorb the water, the rivers are overflowing, and houses are collapsing. So crops are destroyed.
Crops destroyed, houses are destroyed. Millions of houses have been destroyed because they're not built for rain. And there was tons of rain and the roofs collapsed. So it's just devastation everywhere. And then the water just sits there. People can't live in their houses, even if they're still standing. And so they look for higher ground. We had one story, one of our people that we are working with in order to do some relief work. And he went out to do a survey. He found this one family with a three-day-old baby living under a tree. That's all the shelter they had. And he took a picture of her with the woman with the baby, and she actually smiled for the camera, which was amazing to see her smiling in that situation. But just because there's floods, the coming of the babies, they don't stop. So.
And this is a long-term thing, though. The floods have devastated crops. So they're going to be hungry for a long time. And this water that's standing is mixed with sewage. So it's anything that goes with standing water and that kind of, it's not.
Oh my goodness. And you said, just to be clear, everybody, what I heard was millions of those homes.
Millions. Yes, that's the report. It just everywhere, whole villages are washed out. Sometimes they have to make a decision. If the water looks like it's going towards a major population area, they will block it and steer it towards a whole pile of smaller villages, and those villages just get wiped out. So it's just like there's a river flowing right through their villages and just destroying everything.
So tell us a little bit about the connection of some of the church there and maybe your connections and what's going on to try to help bring some relief.
Yeah, we praise God that we have some good connections there of believers who are serving already. About 10 years ago, there was floods, and they learned a lot then about how to do relief work. And so it's those same people that are involved in the relief work, and they understand how to do it well and how to make sure there's good accountability. So those are the ones that we are working with. We're working with the Pakistan Bible Correspondence School, and they have many students that they are in connection with, and many of them are in desperate need. And not to say that the Pakistan Bible Correspondence School staff, they are also really having a tough time. I have pictures of their houses with leaks and all sorts of damage being done. One of the guys came on to me, and I could hear the rain pouring down on his tarp. He was living under a tarp. His family's under a tarp now. But he's inside his house. And then one of the other members of the staff lost his house completely in his village. And so he's living out on a high patch of ground. But the amazing thing is that they are passionate and desirous to get food and mosquito netting and tarps to the people who are in need. Even the fellow who has no home now and living out with his family, I think he has 8 kids, living out on a high part of the ground, he's out there getting bags of food together and distributing it to needy people. So this is the passion that they have to really make those connections.
And also in a country like Pakistan, it's a mostly Muslim country. In the West, when some tragedy or something horrible happens, the tendency is to shake our fist at God and say, why me? In a country like that, they humble themselves before God and say, what is God saying to us? Hmm. And so there has been a response among Hindus recognizing the goodness of God. And so we pray for that throughout the world.
And the response, like Papu is a good example in the Northern Sindh, as he's one working among the Hindus, that he goes, he has a number of contacts all through these villages around where he lived. Well, his house also was destroyed, and he is now living in a small room with his whole family, 6 kids in a small room in the city. But he's going out every day to the places where his contacts are, and their houses are broken down. But he finds the people on these little parts of the land that are a little bit above the water, and he has prayer meetings with them. He's praying with them and praying to God and leading them in prayer in the name of Christ and getting the names and what they need, and then bringing the next day, bringing the goods out to them. So that's what Papu is doing in the northern part of the Sindh, and the Pakistan Bible Correspondence School guys are working in the southern part of the Sindh.
Wow. So we sit here over in Victoria and abroad, wherever people are tuning in on this. Karen, how might we be able to be involved? We can pray, obviously, and just as we're recording this, Matt's going to make sure we get your email address there so they can reach out to you. But talk a little bit about how we might be able to be involved.
Our organization, FAIR, Fellowship International, has set up a special project, and that money can be donated to that. It goes through their office, and the CRA is, you know, informed of whatever is going on. Then I request the money when the guys in Pakistan send me a budget, saying I need this much money to do this kind of thing. Basically, we've broken it down to about $65 per family, and that provides them with food, a tarp, and some medications. And then I transfer that money. In these days of internet, yeah, it's pretty easy and pretty fast. Yeah. So the goal is to get the money there as quickly as possible and to make sure there's accountability. They have photos of the people they're distributing it to. They have, you know, pictures of the receipts, so I can see exactly how much they're spending. And that you can be sure that any money that is given is very closely accounted for and gets out there as soon as it's needed.
Yeah. Well, what I love about this is, I mean, you guys know the people who are already there, who are devastated, who have had their worlds turned upside down, and yet they are doing ministry. They're reaching. I just love hearing that. So, folks, if there's any way that you can help out, I mean, we know you can pray and we need you to pray. But if there's any way you can help out, please reach out to Karen and she'll talk to you. If you want to talk to her, she can talk to you by the phone, email, whatever, just to help you understand the situation. Mark and Karen, thank you so much.
Can I give a story at the end here?
Please.
Because another thing, you mentioned prayer. That's the biggest thing, is that prayer. Because right now things are going to get worse. It's been devastating, but it's going to get worse because there's standing water, and you mentioned the sewage in the water, but it's also mosquitoes and malaria. So one of the guys who was looking to do a survey in his area in order to find out people in need and to distribute goods fell ill with malaria. His whole family fell ill with malaria, and that is something that's devastating. That's why we're also giving out these mosquito nettings, yeah, to protect them and to protect the kids. But it's prayer for them to be protected from this disease so that they can continue to serve well.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for sharing these stories. Folks, let's see what we can do. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. God bless.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Welcome to Sanish Baptist Church. Here, we believe that we are called to share Christ's love in both word and deed. And we do that through a thing called Living 6-8. Living 6:8 comes from the verse Micah 6:8, which tells us all about what God thinks is good and what he requires from us. So first, to act justly. We believe that we need to speak up for justice for the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized in Victoria and around the world. We believe that the voiceless need a voice and that we can partner with God in bringing justice to Victoria and beyond. To love mercy, not only do we need to speak up, but we are called to serve and love the people that God has brought into our context. It is our belief that regardless of your age, your gender, your sexuality, your race, how you speak or where you come from, that you are deeply loved by God and that we as a church need to be a part of sharing that love. And finally, to walk humbly. We believe that to walk humbly means to desire Jesus every single day, to recognize him as Lord and King, and then to live in obedience to him, recognizing all that he has done for us and sharing that good news to those around us. So that's who we are. And our Sunday services, well, this is the time when we come and celebrate. We come together and worship our God. We hear from him and his word, and then we respond in obedience. And then, well, then we go out and live as the church. 7 days a week, we are the church, a community of people that are seeking God and his mission of transforming lives and changing this city. So welcome. We're so glad that you have joined us. Let's discover how we can live 6:8 together.
He has shown you, mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God.
Welcome to your announcements. We've got something very important for you to know about next Sunday.
Yeah, the 25th.
Which is the 25th of September,
yeah. Yes. So we've been talking about this for a few months now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're celebrating 32 years of ministry. Yeah. Steve and Sylvia are concluding their ministry here with us next Sunday, September 25th. Both campuses are going to meet at the Wilkinson Road campus for 10 o'clock. Man, we'd just sure love to have you come and join us and celebrate, reluctantly, the finishing of Steve and Sylvia at Saanich Baptist Church. That's next Sunday, the 25th, 10 p.m. at the Wilkinson Road campus.
You betcha.
Yeah. And Kim, you've got an announcement about the 27th, the Tuesday night.
Yes, yeah. The following Tuesday. The following? Is that
I think that would work.
Okay, the following Tuesday, which is September the 27th, we're going to be having a prayer event here at the Wilkinson Road campus at 7 p.m. And to prepare for that event, we're going to be doing a 24-hour fast. Yeah. Similar to the event that we did in the spring, we're going to be doing that again. And so if you would like to receive the prayer prompts that we'll send out through the fast day from sundown Monday night to sundown Tuesday, then you can register on our website. Just hit the prayer event button and you'll receive those. And then, yeah, we'll break our fast together in prayer and in singing and in worship Tuesday night.
Yeah, that was an awesome event back in the spring. Looking forward to having you all join us on the 27th Wilkinson Road campus, 7 p.m.
You betcha. Have a great week.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us to worship together today on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able as we get started. And I'm going to read this call to worship from Psalm 150. And it just says this: praise the Lord. There we go. Let's play some music too. Like everything working? Yeah. Let's do this again. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So let's just do a little quick check. Everybody that has breath in them, take a little breath in. Okay, so that's me. Is that you? Do you have some breath in you? Let it out. Perfect. So all of us have breath in us. So we are all going to praise God, I guess. Let's do that together then. Let's start off by singing, Your Love Awakens Me. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my 'cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. God, we do praise you. Because you are good, because you are faithful, because you are holy, because you are completely set apart, because you are the God of the universe. And yet you look on us and you love us. And you chose to live among us. So God, we worship you this morning. Because you do give life. Because you are love. Because you do bring light into the darkness of our world. Because you give us hope. Because you are constantly in the work of restoring our souls and our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Because you are great, God. So yeah, we give you all of the worship that we can muster this morning. We lay it at your feet. Yeah, we give you honor and glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Awesome. Well, you guys can take a seat. And kids, I know that you are raring, ready to go. And Christina is in the back this morning and would love to take you up to your kids program. And sorry, sound people, for some reason this pad is not turning off. So if you guys just want to mute that, that's cool. I'm going to come down here. There we go. Nick will figure it out. He knows all this stuff way better than me, probably. Awesome. Well, we are going to take some time and read some scripture. And perhaps you're asking the question of, like, why do we do that? Why do we take time to read scripture? Don't you guys all just go home and you guys can all read your Bible on your own? Why do we have to do that all together? And I think the important thing to remember is that every time we open scripture, scripture is the living and breathing word of God. And so as we open the scriptures together, as we read them, these aren't just words that are going out into the great void, but this is an opportunity for God to speak to us. And so we're going to read from Psalm 1 this morning. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to read a prayer together that is kind of coming out inspired by Psalm 1. And so there'll be parts for you on the screen, and then there'll be parts where I can lead you out. But we're going to do that together. So let's read this and then pray through it together. This is Psalm 1, and it says this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So yeah, let's read this prayer together. I'll start us off. Come, let us delight in the law of the Lord. Our joy is found in the love of God and neighbor. Come, let us be nourished by living water. Together we will worship the one who enables us to thrive. Our world offers many wide avenues and beautiful boulevards to walk. Our God invites us to walk the road of service and sacrifice. Our society suggests we put down our roots in the shallow soil of pleasure and greed. Our God seeks to plant us on the banks of hope, watered by the rivers of joy and grace. Our culture promotes achievement, success, climbing to the top, ringing the bell. Our God tells us if we want to be first, we need to go to the end of the line. We rejoice and praise your holy name today, O Lord, because you have kept us from a destructive path. We give thanks because your word gives us hope. May we reflect on your word at all times. You are the source of deep-rooted faith, and our spirits are refreshed in your presence. Amen. Steve, why don't you come?
Good morning, everyone. How is everyone this morning? Awesome. Great. Good. Well, welcome if you're in the room, and also welcome to those who are online joining us this morning. If you have been with us over the last few weeks, you know we've been doing a series called The Big E on the Eye Chart. And as I wrap up my ministry here at Saanich, I really wanted to leave you with the things that I think are the things that we need to be focusing in on. Who is God the Father? Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? What story do we find ourselves a part of? And last week, we looked at the first four chapters of this story, the story that explains all other stories, the stories that we find ourselves a part of. And just to recap, we saw in chapter one of that story that God creates. And everything he created, he said, was very good. In chapter two of the story, very good becomes deeply damaged by sin and evil. Then in chapter three, God set out to restore all creation. And as you read the Old Testament, you see God initiating his redemptive plan. In chapter four, we see part two of God's redemptive plan. Jesus came announcing that God's kingdom had come. And he went around proclaiming and teaching and showing that God's kingdom was breaking in. But this wandering rabbi wasn't the Messiah the people were expecting. And over time, he faced increasing opposition, and eventually he was arrested and crucified. And on that cross, Jesus took all the sin and the brokenness of the world upon himself. And as we saw last week, because of what happened on the cross, each of us can experience forgiveness. Each of us can know the gift of eternal life. That's life with God now and life with God that goes on into eternity. Each of us can experience his kingdom and live under his gracious, loving rule and reign. And that brings us to chapter 5 of our grand story. We're going to look at chapter 5 today, and not only does it bring us to chapter 5, this is also my last sermon here as lead pastor of Saanich Baptist Church. And chapter 5 of the grand story is the chapter we find ourselves living in right now. We call it the in-between chapter. That time between God's D-Day, the cross and the resurrection, and God's V-Day, God's victory day, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we live in this in-between time. And in this in-between time, the church is called to be a movement of people on a redemptive, restorative mission with Jesus. In this in-between time, Christ followers are called to be a movement of people who serve Jesus by serving others, a movement of people who share the good news of God's grace in both word and action, a movement of people who live lives that imitate our loving, gracious, sacrificing King. A movement of people who get other people talking differently about Jesus and his church because they're living 6-8. You knew the focus of my last sermon would be on living 6-8 if you've been here any length of time. And if you're new, let me just remind you that live 6-8 comes from an Old Testament verse, Micah 6-8, where it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, O man, woman, O child, young adult, O human being, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let me give you some background. Micah was a prophet, and prophets spoke for God. Micah prophesied sometime between 750 and 686 BC. His message was addressed primarily to the Jewish people in the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was enjoying a time of economic prosperity when Micah came on the scene. There had been 40 years of prosperity, peace, and comfort. And during that time of prosperity, the people, as so often happens during times of prosperity, had drifted away from God. The people had got caught up in the good life and slowly began to ignore God and his ways. There were idols in their lives. Their religious rituals had become empty. And it showed in their society. The rich were getting richer while ignoring the poor. And that's why Micah's message, on one hand, was a message of judgment. Micah told the people God was angry at their injustice, their idolatry, their hypocrisy, their rebellion, and their empty rituals. And because of their actions, Micah said judgment was coming their way. On the other hand, Micah's message was a message of hope. The message that God would restore his people and bless them if they would turn back to him and walk with him. When we come to Micah chapter 6, the first two verses, we find that God is confronting the people and their sin. And then in verse 3 and 4, God reminded the Israelites of his faithfulness towards them. He reminded them how he had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt, how he had given them spiritual leaders, how he had protected them. God was reminding the Israelites that he had kept his part of the covenant, even though they had not kept theirs. And then in verse 6 and 7, the people respond. And they say to God, "What do you require of us?" They say, "Do you want us to bow before you? Do you want us to offer burnt offering of your old calves or thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Is this what you require?" Notice something? All of those activities are all acts of worship in the temple. The people had missed the point. From God's perspective, acts of worship without an accompanying lifestyle are useless. And we need to remember that too. We need to be constantly reminded that we can come to church and we can sing the songs and we can pray the prayers and we can act really pious and holy. We can go through the motions and then we can walk out the doors and live lives that are directly the opposite to the way God wants us to live. We too can miss the point that acts of worship without an accompanying lifestyle are useless in the eyes of God. So in verse 8 of Micah 6, God answers the question of what he requires. If we want to know what is good and what God requires, it's right here in one verse. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And God isn't giving any new information here. This verse really is a summary of all biblical teaching, start to finish. In fact, Jesus had this verse in mind when he said in Matthew 23:23 to the religious leaders, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Back to Micah 6:8. What does God require of us? three actions. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. That's relational language. At its core, at its very center, Christianity is about a relationship with the living God. God who put the stars in space, the God who created all things, wants to walk with us. And he wants us to walk with him as we journey through life. Can I encourage you, church, to always remember the Christian life is a journey of growth and discovery and next steps. It starts with a first step of deciding to follow Jesus, but it doesn't end there. That's the beginning of a discovery of walking with Jesus throughout your entire life, of continually taking next steps on your journey with him. And do you notice something here? It's not just walk, but it's walk humbly. And the Hebrew word here, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The Hebrew word here for humbly is not the usual Hebrew word for humility. Here it means to be humble in the sense of not only not insisting on one's own way, but also readily doing what God wants or requires of you. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking humbly with your God? Are you open to readily doing what God wants or requires? It has been an immense joy over the past 32 and a half years to witness literally hundreds of people take their next steps on their journey with Jesus. And it has been an incredible privilege to have been personally involved in so many people's journeys. Helping some of you start your journey with Jesus. Helping others of you take your next steps on your journey with Jesus. Dedicating your children. Participating in baptisms. One of the great joys of being a pastor is being in that tank over there and baptizing people as people give public confession of their faith in Jesus. And at the end of the sermon today, you're going to see a video of people doing exactly that. It has been a joy and a privilege to journey with you as you've journeyed with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to never ever stop taking your next steps on your journey with Jesus. Whether you're 13 years old or 96 years old, continue to take your next steps on your journey with Jesus. Keep growing in your desire to walk humbly with him. As you do, you'll find yourself empowered in greater ways to love mercy and to act justly. First thing, walk humbly with your God. And then God goes, it's also required of you to love mercy. Mercy is love that seeks to express itself in action. Someone said it this way, it's brilliant. Mercy is love with legs on. Isn't that good? Mercy is love with legs on. When we talk about loving mercy, we're talking about showing compassion and kindness to others in both our words and actions, both inside and outside the church. We're talking about meeting the needs of others, giving a hungry person something to eat, giving a thirsty person something to drink. In Luke chapter 10, you know the story. If you've been in church any length of time, there's a great story called the Good Samaritan. It's a great example of showing mercy amongst other things. And here's a quick 1 minute recap of the story. A man was beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And two religious guys come along and they see him and they pass by on the other side. They don't want to get their hands dirty by meeting the needs of an injured, beaten man. Now, you would think the religious people should be the people that would do that, but in the story, they're not. And then along comes a Samaritan, the most unlikely person to stop. And the Samaritan stops and goes over to the man and gets down beside him, and he bandaged him and put him on his donkey and took the man to a local inn and paid the innkeeper to take care of him. In the story, the Samaritan met the man's needs. He showed mercy. And do you remember how Jesus ended the parable? In Luke 10:37, he said this, "Go and do likewise." We're to go be people of mercy. And notice, we're not just to show mercy, we're to love showing mercy. We're to make showing compassionate kindness something we love doing. And when we do that, people start talking differently about Jesus and his church. And church, it has been so good to see how time and time again, individually and collectively, you have shown mercy. I have heard so many stories of how people from SBC have individually and sacrificially reached out and shown mercy to those in need. Thank you for doing that. And collectively, oh my church, what a joy it has been to be part of a church that loves showing mercy to others. There's so many examples of that. But a long time ago, some of you may remember, we had an Awana program here. It's a kids program. We had this Awana program here. And we as leaders in the Awana program decided that we were going to reach out and support Awana clubs that couldn't support themselves. We were going to help fund Awana clubs so they could show God's love to children. And Rick Boomer, bless his little heart, came up with this great idea, mustaches for the Philippines. And his idea was, thanks Rick very much for this, was they would shave my mustache off if they raised so much money to support the Philippines Awana Club. And of course, they raised that amount of money. In fact, I think they raised more. And so at one Awana meeting, this mustache came off this face for the one and only time since I've been like 18 years old. Yeah, Rick, I'll get you back one day. Anyway, then there was helping with water school, bringing clean water to Haiti and Africa. And then there's been Serve the City, which has grown and expanded over the years and has blessed and impacted people in the city in so many beautiful ways. It all started years ago. I went to a few of the mayors and I said, how can our church serve your municipality? And we got ideas, and it started partnerships like with Saanich Parks, who to this day we still serve. One of my favorites, if you were there, was the Mount Doug Creek cleanup. What a great day that was. We started partnerships with and serving the Women's Transitions House. And I don't know if you know that, but they have been so blessed by what we've been done that they call people in our church now when ladies need moving. When the Transition House has needs, they call people at Saanich because they know the people at Saanich love showing mercy. And Serve the City has evolved from just the serve days to, as you know, the Christmas edition, where you faithfully every year blow us all away by taking those gift cards off the trees and blessing so many families and children. And packed to school again, 275 children blessed this year in packed to school. I want to encourage you to keep your partnership with the One Up Single Parent Resource Center. They so love Saanich Baptist Church because we love, in God's name, showing mercy. There's been the car care edition where single parents get their cars taken care of, an oil change. And I don't know if Derek Brown's here today, but a big shout out to Derek Brown for opening up his garage, Cedar Hill, I think it's called Cedar Hill Auto Repair, so we can do that and care for single parents who don't have the money to take care of their cars. There are so many other examples of SBC showing mercy. SBC Kids supporting Compassion International Children. One of our young adult microchurches right now is partnering with Broken Ministries, who help the homeless in downtown Victoria. the thousands of dollars that have been given out to help those in needs, and I could go on and on and on. But please know this, church. Today, all over the city, people are speaking differently about Jesus and his church because of your generous acts of mercy. And I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep loving mercy individually and collectively. Keep loving mercy in the name of Jesus. We're to walk humbly. We're to love mercy, and then we're to act justly. If mercy deals with a person's needs, and acting justly seeks to address why they have those needs in the first place. If mercy is giving a hungry person something to eat, acting justly deals with why they are hungry in that first place. For instance, in Mexico, MSQ, our mission in Mexico, has fed hundreds and hundreds of children through its Breakfast Club program. That is showing mercy. But MSQ has also built schools and has a vision that there's a seat for every child so they can go to school in the San Joaquin Valley. A seat for every child so they can get educated, because we know that one of the keys to breaking the poverty cycle is education. That's acting justly. And the reason we're called to act justly is because justice is a key expression of God's heart. The Bible is absolutely clear. God is passionate about how the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized are treated. In fact, there are 500 verses of direct teaching on this subject in the New Testament alone. In the Old Testament, after idolatry, defending the poor is the second most prominent theme. God despises injustice and oppression, and as Christ followers, we're his plan for dealing with the injustice in the world. Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." Proverbs 31:8-9, "Speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. Speak out for justice. Stand up for the poor and destitute." God has given Christ followers and his church the work of justice in this world. He's calling us to be agents of justice, people who speak up for and stand up for the widows and the fatherless and the needy and the orphans and the poor and the hungry and the weak and the oppressed, ensuring they're treated in just and fair ways. And while Saanich Baptist Church can't deal with all the injustices in the world, obviously, we can do something. And so, church, let me encourage you, as you move into the future that God has for you, to continue to be agents of justice. Continue to be that in Mexico. Continue to be that in Victoria. Continue the work that has begun with Indigenous peoples in the Victoria Dream Center. Continue to act justly in your workplace, in your neighborhood, and in your relationships. As you move into the future, church, I want to encourage you to continue to live 6-8. Continue to act justly for the poor and the oppressed. Continue to love mercy. Continue to walk humbly with your God. Next week, they've said I can have a few minutes to give words of thanks. So today, what I want to do is I want to challenge you as you move into the future to keep your focus on and to remember these things. First, our Father is a loving, gracious Father who comes running out to us with arms wide open to accept you as you are, where you are. Never lose that sight of God the Father. He is a loving, gracious Father who wants to embrace you and accept you as you are, where you are. Church, always remember that revelation vision of Jesus, that Jesus is here right now behind a very thin veil. Every Sunday you come to worship, Jesus is with you, walking amongst you. Never forget that. Never forget the kingdom has come. And the cross is a doorway into his kingdom. And when we walk through the cross and we enter his kingdom, we get to live under the loving, gracious rule and reign of Jesus, our King and Savior. And as we do that, we are called to live 6-8 so that people in this city and beyond will begin speaking differently about Jesus and his church. And as they do that, they'll get interested in Jesus, and some of them will start following him. Always remember, SBC, you've been placed in this city in hopes that this city will become more like the kingdom of God. So go out and passionately live 6-8. I want to close by sharing a video with you. It's a video someone on our staff team sent to me a few weeks ago, and it's a video of people being baptized. But it's an old video of people being baptized. Like, you'll notice right away that my hair is brown. See what you've done to me, church. But you're going to notice, if you've been at SBC for a while, you're going to see some past staff in there, but you're going to see some young versions of people who are still part of our church, proclaiming their desire to follow Jesus. And I'm showing you this video not just so it can be a trip down memory lane for some of you, but it's my prayer and my hope that this video will inspire you to take your next step, whatever it is, on your journey with Jesus. Let's watch the video.
Finds ground beneath my feet. I can't believe I've come this far. I've found out I'm so much more with you. I've been found in who you are. I've been feeling lately your pierced skin has been stating everything you've wanted to say. Your words are far above me. Teach me how you love me like you do, so I can love like you. My soul clings to you. My lips sing for you. Clings to you, my lips sing for you. I am learning I can always stand when you strengthen me. Up by a single strand, stronger than I could ever be. I am lifting empty hands just to hold your holy hand. There's meaning in your fingertips and purpose in your eyes. This is where I'm finding out what this life is all about while sitting at your feet. My soul clings to you. My lips sing for you. My
Sorry about that. Pretty incredible to see just some of those people in those videos are sitting in this room today, looking a little different. But it's just so incredible to see people making decisions to follow God, to walk with Him, to walk humbly with Him, and people that are still doing that to this day. So what a testament to God's goodness, God's faithfulness. And we're going to continue to worship Him. So I invite you to stand as we close by singing, Build My Life. He's worthy of every song we could sing, of all the praise we can bring. And I will build my life upon His love because it's a firm foundation. I will put my trust in You alone, and I will not be shaken, so that one day, many years from now, when they show this live stream, we'll all look really different too, but still be faithfully following God. And as we sing this last song, I'm going to invite the ushers to come up to you. We're going to take up the offering. So if you have any financial gifts to give, you can do that if you want to. We have digital ways where you can do that. So we invite you to worship God through giving as well. But let's sing this song together. Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. like a prayer, like a pledge. Let's sing just, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. So open our eyes to the ways that you are at work. Show us where you would have us walk with you. Show us where you would have us love to show mercy. Show us where your heart for justice is and where we can partner with you to work for that. So God, yeah, we pledge to build our lives. I pledge to build my life upon your love, because we recognize you are a firm foundation. So we thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we're so grateful that you've worshiped with us this morning, whether you've been here in the building or whether you have been online joining in. We're so grateful that we get to worship together, and we would love to connect with you. If you're new here, there's some cards in the seat in front of you, or there's a section of our website where you can go to connect, but we would love to get to know you if we don't know you already, and if we do know you, we'd love to touch base and just hear where you're at. So feel free to use those cards and get to know us. If you would like to just pray together, this is the space to do that. We'll also have some people available up here at the front, so that if you would like someone to pray for you specifically, we would love to do that as well. And so just as we go from this place, I want to leave us with a benediction. And this is really a portion of the prayer of St. Francis. And so we've read this a few times, but it goes so well with what Steve was speaking on. And it says this, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. So go be an instrument of peace wherever God has called you. We'll see you next week.